Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
And so we are so very honored and grateful to have Tony Saleta. Tony, is that how you say your last name? Saleta. Doran, his wife, and Eric's, his younger brother, with us. He's a second year student at Memphis School of Preaching, and we support him, and he's going to be going to Honolulu to work with Lima. And so let's remember him in our prayers, and we know that he will deliver a wonderful lesson. We look forward to his lesson tonight.
The scripture reading will come from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the words spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. It is my great privilege to be here with you all today to worship our Father in heaven with the family here at West Huntsville. We're so grateful for this opportunity, and thank you to the elders, the deacons, and to the church family for blessing me with this invitation. My wife, Doanne, and I, we're so grateful for you all, and our brother Eric's for your support, not only financially, but most importantly, your support through prayer. And we're so grateful for you all, and we thank you all so much. If you can go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Appreciate the scripture reading that was read for us. Open up to the book of Hebrews. Now, if I were to tell you that Jesus was better than any prophet that had ever lived, would you believe me? If I were to tell you that Jesus was better than any scholar that have ever lived or that ever walked this earth, would you believe me? If I told you that Jesus left the glory of heaven, became a person, a living person like you and I, died on a Roman cross, and was better than any sacrifice offered for man, for the sins of man, would you believe me? Now, as we understand these things, these are very crucial to our foundation of faith, and I assume everyone in here would answer yes to those questions. Now ask yourself, do you ever think that you see yourself forgetting these things? Do you ever see yourself forgetting these foundational principles? These foundational principles of faith, do you see yourself forgetting these things? You might say no, but what about when persecution comes? What about when you are pressed against the wall, when the weight of the world comes crashing down on you, that you think you have nowhere else to go? And the closest place of refuge that you can think of is to go back to your past life, the life that you knew before Christ. Which brings us to the title of our sermon this afternoon, Fight the Slide. Fight the slide, fight drifting back into your old ways. Fight drifting back into the life that you knew before Christ. See, this was the primary concern for the people in the Hebrew Christians that we read about in the book of Hebrews as we study in this book. They had already given their lives to Christ, following the new covenant, obeying the gospel, until great trouble came and they were followed by great persecution. Persecution would push them to return to the old life, Judaism, to the old law, and that was a grave mistake. was a grave mistake for those people, for those Christians, and we can learn so many things from that today. We're going to look at some practical ways at in the book of Hebrews to fight a Christian's gradual slide into apostasy. To fight a Christian's gradual slide into apostasy. We're going to have four simple points for our outline. Today, to fight the slide, we must listen up. You must listen up. Number two, we must step up. Step up and serve. Number three, we must lighten up. We'll cover more context. I know everyone's looking like, what does he mean by these things? We'll go into greater explanation of these points. And then number four, if we fail to do the first three, be prepared to pay up. Be prepared to pay up. Number one, listen up. Let me remind you, as the author would say in the words, before you turn away, let me remind you, Hebrew Christians, of some important things while you're on your way out. When you walk away, you're turning your back on God. When you walk away, you're turning your back on the one who is the express image of God. He's the spitting image when you turn your back on Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. You're walking away from the heir of all things, the one who created all things, John chapter 1 and verse 3. When you walk away, you're walking away from the one who's made better than the angels, and we're going to cover that, made better than the angels, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Hebrew Christians, you thought the angels were so great and so powerful, yet you turned your back on the one being all-powerful, who had all power and all authority. He still does, has all power and all authority on earth and in heaven. Matthew 28, verse 18. Reminds me of that rowdy teenager. I'm not talking about you guys. You guys are awesome kids. I know a lot of you guys. It reminds me of, that teenager who just never gets their way. And they threaten their parents, I'm going to run away. My life is horrible. And then the parents, okay, as you walk out the door, let me remind you of a few things. If you're going to run away, tell me if you're going to find out there in the world someone who loves you as much as mom and dad. Tell me if you're going to find someone who will provide for your every need as much as mom and dad. Tell me someone who's going to buy you all the equipment for the sports that you're going to play as much as mom and dad. A reminder to pay attention. Let's read together Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What things have we heard? The gospel. They heard the teachings of the new covenant. The things which we have heard. Number one, Jesus is the heir of all things. All these are covered in Hebrews chapter 1. He is the express image of God. Jesus is far better than all the angels. And that is generally the theme of the book of Hebrews. Jesus is better, isn't he? Jesus is way better. The covenant that he brings is way better than the old covenant. And to fall into apostasy means that I am sleeping on the job. Therefore, I must pay attention. Skip down to verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? Hebrews, pay attention to what you were taught, that you won't forget. Pay attention so you do not forget these things, because once you forget, the devil wins. When you forget the things that you have been taught, the devil wins. And as Christians in 2025, we look at this, how can this apply to us? We're not exempt for giving the most earnest heed to what we've been taught. This is a reminder for us to keep on growing in the faith. Keep on studying the Word of God. Keep on loving others. Keep on trying your best to win souls to Christ. Pay attention. I understand, we fall. We're people. We're human, aren't we? We fall. We lose sometimes. We fuss. We fight. We get knocked down. It's part of life. But the most important thing is when you fall, make sure you stand back up and not let go of your faith in Christ. You hold on to that faith in Christ. And let's always be humble. Always be humble to tell ourselves when troubles come, when the roads get rough, I will not run to the world. Instead, I will run to my Heavenly Father. I'm going to run to Him in prayer. I'm going to open up His Word to see how He wants me to solve the problems that's going on in my life. I want to see what He says. What does God say? Thus saith the Lord. What does God say about this? How can I apply this to my life? Pay attention. We must listen up. Brings us to point number two. To fight the slide, we must step up. First, you fight the slide by listening up. Number two, fight the slide into apostasy by stepping up. Get up. Get busy. Get active for God. Idleness in a Christian, when a Christian does not live out his faith or her faith, when a Christian sits down and remains idle, this is a very effective tool in the devil's toolbox, if you will. The moment we begin to think that Christianity is too laborious, the moment that we begin to think that Christianity is just too hard, I can't keep all of God's commandments. Living the Christian life is too hard. The moment we begin to think like that, the devil has us right where he wants us, right in the palm of his hand. Because we read somewhere in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 through 30, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy." Doesn't sound hard. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Our master said those words. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. We're staying in chapter 2 for a moment. Verse 16, the Bible says, "For verily he took on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." Verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behoved him," or it was fitting, "to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Verse 18, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor," or to give aid, "them that are tempted." See, the writer here emphasizes over and over again, and we'll see this throughout the book of Hebrews, that if people need any extra motivation to get to work, look no further than our master. Look no further than Christ. There is no longer any fear of death because of Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus was the greatest servant of all time to complete the greatest mission of all time. And what was that mission? That through him the world might be saved. John chapter 3, verse 17. He did not just bring the plan of salvation, teach the plan of salvation, implement the plan of salvation. Brethren, friends, Jesus is the plan of salvation. Get busy and work for God so that we can get busy and watch out for the enemy. Our adversary, he doesn't take a day off. The devil doesn't take PTO. He doesn't take a day off. He's always punched in. He works a 24-hour, 365 shift. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He works twice as hard to come after God's people. See, the devil roams, but there's something that strikes more fear into me. And that is, and it should for all of us too, and that is for us to miss the rest that is promised by our Lord, as we read in the book of Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 9. The Bible says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." A rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So you can fall. You Hebrew Christians or Christians in general, you've obeyed the gospel, but you can fall if, verse 11, you fail to labor. If, chapter 2, verse 1, you fail to give the most earnest heed. Give the most earnest heed. This is not a once obeyed, once saved, always saved. No, we must continuously work and live out our faith, live out your faith for Christ, that you may enter into his rest. May nothing stop us from entering into our rest. No matter what comes your way, no matter what comes our way, we must endure. We must endure. There will never be a time when you look back on your life and regret enduring for God. You will never regret standing firm in the faith for him. Sin is a different picture, though. When sin grabs a hold of us, it's easy to regret the next day after. You're always thinking about it. But when you endure for God, it is impossible to regret serving him. God requires us to be diligent in our fight against the devil. He requires us to be diligent in our stance for the faith. So we must expect to be exhausted. Yeah, it's a little hard work, but it'll all be worth it when we enter into that rest with our Lord and Savior. It will be worth it all. Number three. First, fight the slide. We must listen up. Two, fight the slide. We must, to also fight the slide, we must step up. Get up and serve. Serve our Lord. And number three, fight the slide by to lighten up. I messed up the grammar there. To lighten up. Lighten up. What do you mean? Lighten up. Get rid of all that excess baggage. Travel light. Because the road ahead requires endurance. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and let the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us. We cannot run the race of faith with sin holding you back. Sin holds us back. You cannot run because those weights are preventing you from achieving progress. Weight continues to keep you back. They make you suffer immobility. You can't go nowhere. Sin packs a heavier punch than we give it credit for. It besets us. It won't run from running a race. It's like a crossbar preventing you from moving forward. And if it's not taken care of, it will grow like a cancer. It will grow and it will help turn one heart against Christ. It will make you comfortable in living around sin if it is not taken care of. Psalm chapter 1. In verse 1, travel light so you can walk right. When we examine our own lives, what burdens, what distractions are holding us back from being the best servant to God that we can be? What weights are holding us back? These can be so many different things, especially in this world. It could be the love of material things over spiritual things. It could be social media popularity. We live in the era of social media. Are these things holding us back from being the best servant that we can be? It could be entertainment. It could be entertainment. I heard a preacher said that what you feed yourself, what you feed your eyes, because the eyes and the ears are the portals to the soul. So what are we consuming? for entertainment? Is it recreational time overtaking our Bible study time? What are the weights that are in our lives? Is it personal pride? I don't want to fix my relationship with that brother or sister because they hurt my feelings. What weights are holding us back? Let's look at Hebrews 12:2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrew Christians, you guys better get rid of this these distractions. Get rid of all these weights, but focus your sights on Jesus. Because he endured the cross for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He endured for you. So get rid of sin. No prophet did that for you. This is basically what the author is saying. No prophet did that for you. No angel, not Judaism. None of that did that stuff. Removed your sins and endured the cross for you. But God's only begotten Son endured the cross for you. Cast aside those weights, and you are ready to run the race of faith. Currently, we're in those who watch Major League Baseball, it's playoff season. You can just think about when a batter is in the on-deck circle, he's getting his timing down, he's getting his swing down. Notice when he's swinging the bat, he has a something you call like a donut, like a weight, like a bat weight on his bat. It makes the bat extremely heavy. But when it's his turn to go up to the plate, he drops the weight, steps into the plate. That bat feels extremely light, and now his bat speed is up now. He's ready. He's ready for that first pitch to come down the middle. When you drop the weight, it gets easier. Lay sin aside. Live for God. Lay sin aside and keep your eyes on Jesus. Number four, when we fail to do these things, when if they fail to listen up, if they fail to step up, if they fail to lighten up, they must be ready to pay up. Be ready to pay up. Hebrews, if this is the life that you choose, so be it. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, the Bible says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Christian, you refuse to give the more earnest heed to the things that you have learned. You refuse to work for God and to give him all diligence. You refuse to hold on to that great confession of faith that Jesus was made lower than the angels, to taste death like man, to save all men. You refuse these things. You refuse to endure persecution like your father, like your Savior did on the cross. You refuse to live under the better covenant given to us by a better lawgiver, overseen by our great high priest, purchased by the best sacrifice. If this is your decision, with your heart of unbelief, go. When you go, don't forget to pay the fee on your way out. And the fee is your soul. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. We'll read these quickly together. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap." God is the most loving being that we know, but he will not save someone who is willingly refusing to be saved. Willingly refusing to be saved. And if we turn our backs on Jesus, we are turning our backs on the grace of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Brethren, friends, I cannot imagine a life without Jesus. I cannot imagine a life where we are living under, we are not living under his better covenant in which we are living under today. You know, some people may hold a different position, but that's okay. But me personally, I cannot imagine my life without Jesus. I cannot imagine not having the greatest sacrifice, the best of heaven, be sacrificed for our sins. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. A life without Jesus is a life that both gives and takes away. How does it give? A life without Jesus gives us a clear path to a fiery end. It's very unpleasant. We don't want to go there. A life without Jesus leads us down a path that leads to a door that we cannot enter. We cannot go through that door no matter how hard we knock, how loud we shout out to the other side to open. We cannot enter that door. A life without Jesus may give us pleasure in the beginning, but then our worst fears and all of our worst nightmares follow after. How does it take away? What does a life without Jesus take? A life without Jesus takes away every possibility that we have for hope. Without Jesus, there is absolutely no hope. But when we look at this, when we open the pages of this book and when we read God's holy and divinely inspired word, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, we are told that we have hope. Because Jesus walked out of the tomb on the third day after he was buried. He's alive. That is why we have hope. Therefore, we have a living hope, a hope that is undefiled, a hope that is no longer in the grave, a hope that is alive. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Because he lives, we have hope. And if Christians are willing to listen up, pay attention to God's word. If we are willing to step up in service to God, if we are willing to lighten up and throw all of our burdens and the sins aside, we cannot run our races of faith with sin in our lives. If we do these things, if we are successful in these steps, we might hear the beautiful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter." But if we fail, failure to take heed to God's word, take heed to God's word, we run the risk of paying with our souls. We run the risk of paying with our souls, but we have hope, as mentioned before in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We have hope because Christ lives. Make your life right with God by becoming a Christian. If you are here today, you are our honored guest. I know I'm a guest too, but the focus isn't on me. It's on, if you're a visiting guest, you're the guest of honor. You're our most distinguished guest. And if you have been studying with someone or wanting to learn how to become a Christian, how do you become a Christian? For one must become a Christian. To become a Christian, one must hear God's word and believe it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. John 3, 16. One must repent of their sins. Luke 13, 3. Make a conscious decision to turn away from sin. Turn to God. One must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then one must be baptized. Fully submerged in water. Washing away their sins. Mark 16, 16. Acts 22, 16. As you come up out of the water, you are a new creation. Filled with with zeal and ready to live and walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 1 through 4, Luke 9, 23. If you are a Christian, you have done these things, but life has been pretty heavy lately, and you feel like giving up, you feel like there's nowhere to go. Brother, sister, we love you, and we want you to come home. Most importantly, God wants you to come home. Will you come as together we stand and as we sing?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.